Thanks for tuning in to the Glossy Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Manoff, and today I'm chatting with Monique Lhuillier, co-founder and creative director of her namesake luxury lifestyle brand, best known for gorgeous bridal gowns. This year, the brand is celebrating 25 years in business, so I wanted to ask Monique about the evolution of the wedding industry, plus how the business fared in a year where there was no going to the chapel. Welcome, Monique.
So happy to be here.
So happy to have you as my guest. A year with no weddings. Am I right? Were people shopping? What is this year that you experienced?
Well, the year was definitely a challenge and very new for us to experience in the 25 years of being in business. But a lot of positive things happened in the year and a half. So I can't wait to get into them detailed. But there were weddings that still took place. So, you know, love was not canceled. It was postponed, but definitely not canceled.
Yes. Did you find that people were kind of shopping and just waiting? It wasn't preventing them from browsing and shopping.
Well, the brides were very resourceful and they used this time to research dresses that, you know, they wanted to explore, put, you know, mood boards together and how they wanted their weddings to look. And then the ones who already had their weddings planned and had to reschedule were just looking for new dates. And, you know, they kept moving it along because we didn't know how long this pandemic was going to last. So, you know, they were using their time that way too. But I never lost contact with, you know, my brides. I mean, you know, on social, we were very active listening to them and our stores were still, you know, listening to all the calls, inquiries. So even if there was a pause, there was still interaction happening, which was wonderful.
That's great. Well, let's talk about this huge milestone, 25 years in business. I mean, it's a different world, I'm sure a different wedding industry than it was in the mid-90s. What can you tell me, first of all, about how you're celebrating this year, commemorating this in a big way?
Well, this year, as you said, is our 25th anniversary in business. You know, I started this company with my husband back in 1996 when I was a newlywed. And we embarked on, you know, starting in the bridal space after planning my own wedding and looking for a dress option out there and finding an opportunity that I could fill. So we started in the bridal space. And right after, you know, we got married, I put a small collection together and I showed it to some retailers and they picked up the line and we were officially in business. I didn't have a business plan or anything like that. We were young, fearless, in love, and we were so optimistic and we said we can do this. And my husband was getting his MBA at USC, which is University of Southern California here in LA. And he put his business mind with my creativity and we embarked on this journey together. I've learned so much in the 25 years and, you know, everything from, you know, designing white and ivory dresses for the first 5 years. And then I decided I needed color in my life. And that's when the ready-to-wear collections, you know, blossomed after that. And then we had children. And then that's when the home collection started. And it's just been one step after the next, but all doing categories that mean so much to me and that are authentic to what I believe in. And so, I mean, the biggest difference I would say in bridal from when I was a bride looking for a dress till now is that there's so many more fashionable options out there for a bride today. You can really put an individualistic look today from just all the resources that are out there. And also, you know, it's fashionable to do bridal now. You know, when I started, it was, you know, maybe second tier, I would say, after fashion. You know, there were really not a lot of players. And now I would say most of the design houses offer to do a bridal, you know, piece, a bridal gown for somebody. So I've seen that really change.
So you've got a book that commemorates your 25 years. This is your first book ever. I know, you know, it goes through your history as a brand. Everything you're telling me today, we can find that in this book. Is it your story as a designer? What is this book about?
Well, this book is commemorating our 25th year anniversary, but, you know, it really shows the journey from when I started, you know, from the dream. Well, actually from growing up, being inspired by my mother, then going to fashion school and then putting the first collection out to all the other milestones along the way. And, you know, the irony of this all is I was so excited to embark on putting this coffee table book together with Rizzoli. And, you know, we all met in New York, we signed, we, you know, shook hands, and that was March 1st, 2020. And we said, I can't wait for a lot of interaction. We're going to do this and, you know, we're going to collaborate. And then the world ended and shut down on us on March 15th. And I had to work with the teams remotely on putting this entire book together. So there was a lot of, you know, me going through my old pictures and Polaroids, because it was Polaroids back then, and, you know, compiling all of these things, sending it to the team in New York. And then we worked on it on Zoom, from layouts to, you know, writing it to the chapters. I mean, so it was all done viral, virtually. But I am so proud of how it turned out. And we are all going to, you know, be together and celebrate it in person now that the world is opening up.
The bridal industry has a reputation for being, I guess, traditional. I would think that your team, the design team, anyway, being hands-on and not working on Zoom, not working in this kind of virtual digital world, would be more natural for you guys. Am I correct? Is that maybe it's not second nature like it is to some industries where, of course, we're just going to jump to Zoom?
Well, my internal design team, we worked, you know, in person. It's hard for me to start a collection with them without being in the same room, you know what I mean? And so we kept that, you know, going through the lockdown, and we met when we could, and then when we had to just stop completely, we stopped completely. But then I had to still work remotely with all my other partners, you know, because I work with, you know, Pottery Barn, kids, teens, and Mainline, and that we did on Zoom. Products were sent to me. I approved them. They went back. We had to find a way of working that wouldn't, like, disrupt the whole collection. So I did work remotely with my partners. I actually, you know, one other category I'm very passionate about is this jewelry collection that I'm about to launch. And that was designed, executed while we were all in lockdown. So there was a lot of back and forth, samples coming to me, us doing Zooms and talking about the design aesthetics and the execution. And I also have another collection, which is my Diffusion Contemporary line. And that was also done virtually. And the fittings were all on Zoom, and I would be like, you know, fix the hem on this side, tighten the waist. I think the proportions are off. So, you know, once I got the hang of it, they were all really very effective. And now we're actually going to keep some of those, you know, processes in place. I mean, the only thing that I'm not doing remotely is the main collections, because I have a factory here in Los Angeles downtown with my team, and we can control the environment. So that's definitely staying in person.
Okay, great. Well, tell me the breakdown of the business. I guess if you can put a percentage around what portion are bridal gowns and versus other categories. And I know that much of it, what's happening in-house versus what's a license?
Well, a license is when you collaborate with a brand and another brand, and then you know, I give the creative direction, the inspiration of what I'm feeling for the collection. And then the other teams interpret that. And there's a lot of back and forth. Sketches are sent. I approve it. I make changes. The product gets made. Then the approval process is the product comes back to me. I touch and feel every single product. And I make tweaks. It gets corrected. And then it goes to market, and that's licensed category. And then I get a percentage of the retail sale. That's licensing as a business. You know, my main lines, which I do in-house, that is 100% in our factories, in our design rooms from start to finish, in our showrooms, and that we... So there's two different parts of my business, yes.
Yes. And what makes a fitting, I guess, licensed partner or a retail? Yeah, partner. I know that you team with Pottery Barn for home. You team with Hanky Panky for lingerie, which is so pretty. Why those companies? Why do they work for you?
Well, I never partner with a company that doesn't have the same goals as I do, same, you know, traditions, values. I choose a partner that way. And, you know, Pottery Barn was such a perfect fit from the start because, you know, when I designed my kids' rooms and it was published many years ago, Pottery Barn Kids had reached out to us and saying, oh, we love what you did for your teens' rooms. Would you be interested in doing a kids' collaboration? And I said, absolutely. And so we started that process. And then that did extremely well. And then Pottery Barn Mainline reached out to me and said, would you like to do for the core and, you know, for let's go after the registry, like you're now helping the bride start her home. And so that was the natural progression. So that's how we ended up doing partnering with them. And then most recently, you know, my kids have grown and now they're teens. And so the teen team of Pottery Barn asked me to now, you know, get involved with the teen division, and I am involved with them too. And what's so interesting is, in spite of being one company, it's all different design teams that I work with. And so, you know, it's been really a wonderful journey, and we have had a lot of success together, and we continue to inspire each other. And I'm only proud of the things that I put out there. It's things that I would like to live with, that I want my name on. And so I'm very hands-on in everything that I touch and do. And the lingerie, I've always wanted to dress my bride from head to toe. And lingerie is another component that I really wanted in the collection. And so that's how that came to life. And the designs were inspired from my wedding dresses, the lace work that I do. And then we put that into the lingerie. So everything is so seamless. And, you know, the good thing with having partners who are so knowledgeable in their arena is they bring the expertise to make that product really, you know, perfect. So that's what I strive to do.
Is it, you're only one woman. I mean, are more categories possible? Is it about teaming with the partners who make it pretty easy for you to make your mark on a certain category, about maybe the right staff? Are more categories to come?
There are more categories to come. I mean, I would love to explore the beauty space. I feel like, you know, people come to me on the most important day of their life, whether that's a wedding or a red carpet, where they want to shine and feel the best version of themselves. And now that they come to me as the authority of what the dress should look like and what the beauty look should be for the day, I feel like beauty products is probably the next thing I'd like to explore.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Let's go way back. Let's talking about becoming the authority in bridal wear. First of all, when you entered the market, what was the state of the industry? You touched on this, but what, I guess, white space, what opportunity did you see? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I was 22 years old, engaged and searching for a wedding dress. This was back in 1993. And, you know, there was an extreme I found out there. There was very traditional dresses, you know, leg of mutton sleeves, you know, really like covered all the way up to your neck. And then just a lot of stuff happening in the dress. And then there was the other extreme, which was like coming up and really in the forefront, was very minimal dresses, you know, a lot of like fitted tulle, like ballerina looking dresses, but so sleek and simple. And I found myself wanting something in the middle. I wanted something that had the elements of the tradition, the lace, the long sleeve, but maybe with an open back, giving them something unexpected. And you know, and that's what I set out to do.
Nice. How did you take off? Was it about a certain celebrity wearing your gown? What really pushed you forward, I guess, in the beginning?
Well, in the beginning, when I put my first collections out, I mean, I was thrilled that, you know, people were gravitating to the design. So they invited me to do trunk shows. So every weekend, you know, me and my husband, we were in a different store meeting the clients. And women gravitated to the designs, but they couldn't say my name for the life of them. They were like, you know, that Monique girl, that Monique L, I don't know, like she's new and she's young. And I would say year four, I heard Monique Lhuillier, and I was like, oh my goodness, something's working. They're saying my name correctly. And I knew we were on the right path. And I knew, you know, like there was just a lot of buzz, and I could feel something was happening. Would you just, you know, like we were busier. I mean, we were a lean startup, you know, my husband and I, it was maybe a team of five starting, and it was one foot in front of the next. We didn't really have a business plan. We were just, we dove in and we were busy from the start, and we were just figuring it out, learning from our mistakes, but really focused on product. I was so proud, and I'm still so proud of those first dresses till now. Like, you look at the inside of the garment, they're just as beautiful as the outside. All the workmanship, the hours, I mean, the attention to detail is really, I think, the real reason why I'm celebrating 25 years. You know, it's consistent.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that trunk show model. I mean, if you're bouncing around to trunk shows, you paid your dues. How long was that a part of the, is that still a process? Is that part of the equation? Or talk about the evolution of retail channels that worked for you and that are working now.
Well, like I said, when we started, trunk shows were vital because back then there was no social media. So if girls wanted to see new collections, they had to physically go into the stores and, you know, touch the product and see the product, you know. And for me, that also, in hindsight, I learned so much from those trunk shows because I had a lot of one-on-one time with the bride, and I could hear what was working, what wasn't working. And so that really helped me. You know, I was exhausted. And when we'd come home, because then Monday to Thursday, we'd have to make the product, and Friday we would get on a plane to go somewhere. So we didn't stop for like 10 years. We did all our trunk shows ourselves. You know what I mean? But that was, I learned so many valuable things from that. Now, fast forward, we still have trunk shows and they're still, you know, well attended. But I feel like the girls now already know what they're coming in for. As soon as we put new images out on Instagram and all our social channels, the girls are coming to the trunk shows, but they already have the pictures and they're like, this is the dress I'm looking for and I want that. So they're more informed. They've done the research and now they're ready to try on, you know. So that's the biggest difference, I would say, in the 25 years.
Is Pinterest a main source of inspiration for them? Is it Instagram, Pinterest? Where are you marketing? Where are you focusing your efforts? Where are they finding you?
Our most important channel is Instagram. We, you know, put out these images and right away we get a reaction, you know. And so I have two channels, actually. I have Monique Lhuillier, the main channel, which talks about everything I touch. And then I did a separate one, which is Monique Lhuillier Bride, because I know my bride, when she is planning for her wedding, she can't get enough about weddings, ideas, tabletop, dresses. She wants 24 hours bridal. And I couldn't do that in my main channel. So we have two separate ones so that we can address her needs. And so that's really our main channel. I know Pinterest is important to them, but it's not as important as Instagram for us.
Let's take a quick break. So right now, you're looking at Instagram photos when they come into the shop. Maybe 20 years ago, was that instead bringing in an ad from a glossy magazine? What's the transition there? Where were you marketing then versus now?
100% that has changed. You know, when I started, I'm even going to take it back to when I decided to come up with my first collection of six dresses. I had no idea where I was going to show this collection. So I picked up a bride's magazine and I flipped through the pages and I was like, okay, I saw retailers carrying other brands. So I would call those retailers and said, hi, I'm a new designer and I would love to show you my new collection. How would I be able to do that? And they were like, oh, there's this trade show that's happening. Maybe you should go and get a booth there, which I did. And so that was the very beginning of it. And then what I realized is, you know, once we sold the dress to the stores, everybody wanted a print ad. They wanted a print ad where they could be listed. And so we did that. We advertised in Brides Magazine and other bridal publications, and we would list all the retailers. And since I have my own retail stores, brides would come in with tears from the magazine and say, I'm looking for this dress. And it was very tactile. And now that's all kind of gone away. Nobody really comes in with a magazine anymore. Now it's all virtual or, you know, Instagram, primarily Pinterest, like you mentioned. And now I'm hearing a little bit of TikTok too. So maybe we'll have to start exploring that too.
That would be amazing. What about a runway show? Was that also being part of the bridal week? Is that as important as it ever was?
Well, when I started my brand, first I was showing in these trade shows. And after doing that for a few seasons, I decided to show the dresses on a runway because I decided, you know, I wanted to show how the dresses moved. I wanted it more curated with the music and really, you know, present it that way. So I showed my collections for multiple years on the runway. And then 4 years ago, I decided to stop showing on the runway and take the collections to dreamlike locations where I thought the bride can really see the vision of the dress in this magical space. And I wanted to paint the picture differently. And so since then, I've been going to Lake Como. Now we're flying to another secret location soon. Then I did one in Paris, south of France. And these pictures have really resonated with our brides. And they come in with those pictures on their phones. And I'm helping them now curate the wedding day, not only the dress.
I mean, that sounds better than a runway show. Let's be real. That's awesome. Is that boutique or store experience where she's coming with her mom, that she tries on the dress, they cry, the whole thing? Is that as important as it ever was? Is she shopping online?
We do not sell our wedding dresses online. So for us, we give as much information and we give ideas, we show the collections, but we really still want them to come into our flagship stores. And the reason is you can't replace that experience. You know, from the moment you walk into our doors, the way we welcome you, we immerse ourselves into what you're feeling, what you want to achieve on your wedding day, what dresses do you like? And we also educate them on what fabrics we have, what cuts we have, what silhouettes, what, you know, we educate them with all the details. And then once they try dresses on, it's that gut feeling that helps them ultimately decide what the dress is going to be. So that whole process is so magical and we continue to embrace that. Now it's a little harder for us to accommodate as many people because of all the protocols, but we truly are so proud of the experience that we provide for the brides and their families at our stores. And it doesn't end after they purchase the dress because they come back for multiple fittings. So there's really a bond and a trust level that happens from the bride and the consultants.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit more about that in-store experience. How are you making it luxurious from the moment, you know, even before they walk in until you're working with them? You know, they're coming in constantly. But is it about, I don't know, the extras and the champagne and all of, I don't know, the bells and whistles? Or is it just about maybe personalization, knowing what they want, knowing their name, their mom's? Like, what do they want? Is it a combination?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things, but we don't bring out champagne every single time. I mean, it's only if, you know, it's wanted or needed. But I think the experience is really between the, you know, the mom, the daughter sharing this experience together and us making it as, you know, as special as possible by just showing them their dresses and educating them about, you know, the craftsmanship, the workmanship, and really to help them feel the best version of themselves in finding the perfect dress. And for us, that is the experience, you know. And, you know, all my entire team, everyone, when people experience it, they always leave with saying, you know, the whole team is so approachable, kind. There's no, it's not this pressure experience. It's all very, you know, wonderful, really. And so, yeah. And so we pride ourselves on that. And, you know, we're very accommodating too. We don't like to say no. You know, we always, if we can do it, we'll make it happen. And we did a lot of that, especially during the pandemic when some people refused to move their dates. And we made accommodations to fit them wherever they were, whether that was, you know, in the Hamptons, Greenwich for the New Yorkers, and like in their private spaces outside, obviously, but we sent our fitters all over. In Los Angeles, we sent people to Malibu, a lot of different places, just so we could accommodate their dream of getting married during the pandemic, you know. And my team is so committed that, I mean, there's this one story I want to share, because while we were in the thick of the pandemic, we had a bride who, for religious reasons, refused to move the date. And she, you know, wanted to have her dress and that date intact. And so we contacted our team and I said, okay, who is, you know, willing to fit and work and with this bride and all stuff. And a lot of, we had a lot of the team volunteer, but they were so nervous to take public transportation at that time because it was at the height of it all. So they took the dress from our Madison Avenue store and they walked 45 blocks carrying this dress to fit the bride in a private location. And you know, there were tears of just appreciation and joy. And then they walked that dress back another 45 blocks back to the alteration space and did the alterations. And the bride was married the following weekend. And, you know, it's moments like that where, you know, my team went far and beyond. I had to call them and I was so grateful that, you know, they give it all, you know, and I'm so proud that they're part of my team.
I mean, that is service. Have you, everybody's talking about the challenge right now of finding quality retail employees. I mean, how do you, I guess, even find such workers, train them to have such pride and ownership in the brand? I don't know. Is there a secret to that?
Well, I think it's the ethos of our company. You know, I treat everybody like they're my family. And a lot of my team players have been with me for a really long time from the very beginning. Some retired, but have been with me for a really long time. And I always say, you know, there's no job that's too small. We're a team. Everyone just needs to step up when needed and get it done. And I mean, that's kind of the mantra that we've built this brand on, you know. And so putting even this book together and seeing a lot of the milestones, you know, I'm standing in front of them. I'm the face of the brand, but there's so many people who are responsible for helping us get to where we're at. You know, this is not a one-person show. This is a lot of people coming together and believing in the product and believing in the vision and believing in the core of what we stand for, celebrating life's most special moments and making women feel empowered and the most beautiful in the clothes. And so there's a lot of pride and excitement with this anniversary.
How many flagships have you got right now? And are you finding that, you know, that works? If people want to shop the store, they're going to travel to the store. Are people coming from far and wide?
A lot of people are coming from far and wide. I have three of my own flagship stores. And ironically, the third one I opened during the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
It was the end of October 2020. And it was something we had planned on doing. And then the pandemic hit. And then we were like, are we still going to open it? Because I could have still gotten out of that arrangement. But we said, no, we believe in what we're doing. And we said, this can't be forever and we're going to still proceed. So we opened that store at the end of October in 2020. And it's just getting better and better as the world has opened up. So we're so excited with that addition. And yes, in the future, I would love to have more flagship stores, because that's when you get the true Monique Lhuillier experience. Once you come in, see the worlds of, you know, my brand. Because when I sell to other retailers that are not exclusively ours, like, we have a section in their store, but the whole brand isn't represented the way it is in a flagship. So yes, I'm dreaming for more international stores even, and just more stores in general. Yes.
Yes. Is the no e-commerce, as more, I guess, direct-to-consumer brands pop up that are even exclusively online and they're navigating how to sell a gown and fit a gown remotely, is that a constant conversation for you guys? Like, do we go there? Is it a kind of a hard and fast rule? We don't want to do it.
No. We are exploring that because, you know, you always have to be ahead of the trend. And we are exploring that because I already sell direct to consumer my ready to wear collection. And we do quite well with that. It's because people are more confident than ever shopping at home. And I sell, expensive ready to wear dresses. So even like from 6,000 to 16,000, people are buying ready to wear at home. And so I'm like, well, why couldn't we also start selling the bridal dresses online? So we're exploring that, but it is still more of an emotional, connection and experience. So I don't know what the future will hold, but we are exploring everything, because, you just have to stay ahead of the forefront, and we can't reach everybody, So maybe direct to consumer selling would reach a bigger audience, and we're finding that all our other categories are doing very well with DTC. Yes.
Okay, great. Well, talk up a little bit more about challenges in the last year. Obviously, getting gowns to brides that are 40 blocks away, challenge. But supply chain, getting maybe some of the lace, getting the materials, what were there challenges there as well?
There were definitely a lot of challenges that came our way during, this last year and a half. The first was really, like shutting down. We had to pause for a little bit because there were no events. So there was a moment even there where I was like, oh my gosh, all these years we've built this beautiful company and all of a sudden people don't need the main product, because no one's celebrating. And so I just had to reflect on that alone, But the bright side is we had diversified and I had all this homeware with Pottery Barn, kids, teens, and mainline, and people were home. And so they were buying all those things so they would have, newness in their home. So that category soared. And so that was so nice that we were diversified already. I mean, another thing that was hard for me was, I had dreamt of a signature fragrance for the last 18 years. And we finally, after a year and a half, have this beautiful fragrance and scent that we were so proud to launch. And the launch date was March 10th. And we had all these, events, signings, big launch ideas. And as I was doing some press, the world shut down on the 10th of March. So then people could not really experience it the way I wanted them to experience. So, the fragrance is always going to be part of our offering, but it didn't have its moment because of COVID. So that was a challenge. The other challenge was a lot of people had to postpone their weddings. So now all those weddings are on top of the girls who are getting married this year. So we have a bottleneck of everybody needing their dresses now. And our teams are working so many hours just trying to get everybody's, dresses done on time. And it's created this whole influx of, I don't think you can even find a Saturday where you can get married in a location now. So now it's during the week. So that's created a bottleneck for us. I mean, the good thing with production is we own our own facilities and factories. So we make everything here locally in downtown Los Angeles. So we were able, to control getting the product out on time, still like having all of it. So that was wonderful. There was a little hiccup with some fabrics being delayed, but nothing that, set us back too much. And the other thing that also is a positive, I guess, from the sadness that was happening is that when retailers started to panic, and I'm talking now more about the ready-to-wear, they decided to have really lean orders. They started to cancel orders because they were they didn't want the inventory and all that stuff. And because we have our own retail stores, we absorbed all that inventory and we focused it onto DTC. And so we had more customers now that we could fill product with because we owned all of it. So we learned a lot from that process and we are now really concentrating on building our direct-to-consumer business and really stepping it up. So that was a positive out of that. But
that's awesome. So your ready-to-wear business, would you say it went from majority wholesale sales to maybe, you're more DTC now?
I'm gonna say more than ever, our ready-to-wear business is now more like impactful to us directly through our stores and our DTC than our wholesale partners. We realized that through the year and a half. And we actually love the control because now we get to, you know, do more with it and explore other opportunities. So yes.
Yeah. Is 100% direct-to-consumer sales, is that in the future?
I don't know. I don't know because I'm so grateful for all my partners who have been with us from the very beginning. So I don't think it'll ever be that, but it's just, there'll be more of it from our point of view. Yes.
Yes. How would you describe the current, okay, the wedding boom's happening, as you said, brides are all going all in. Would you say it's making up for last year and then some? Are you able to keep up with demand so that, you know, you're able to recoup some of those costs or some of those?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, so we kind of wrote off 2020. Those numbers, like, we're not even comparing to those. So we are comparing to 2019. And as of today, we're up 30% from those numbers. So we are extremely excited about the trajectory. And now we just want to finish the year strong. And we're hoping that, you know, COVID is done forever. And then we'll, you know, even be more ambitious, I guess, you know, for next year. Right.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about other glamorous fashion stuff. There was also a lack of a red carpet happening last year. But what I do see celebs wearing your gowns, non-wedding gowns on the red carpet, and hear your that name check, name drop of Monique Lhuillier. What does that do for sales? Is that just about, again, awareness or I guess alignment with something luxurious? Does that work to boost sales?
Well, the red carpet has really helped me build my brand. You know, from the very early days, I never had PR. I didn't know what marketing was. I was really focused on product. And then after we perfected our product, we opened our first flagship store back in 2020 here in Beverly Hills. And it took stylists coming in saying, oh my goodness, I love that dress. Can you make it in color so I can put it on my celebrity client on the red carpet? And that was really our marketing those early days, because when they would say our name on the carpet, people, you know, would remember it. And the more they heard it, that's how they learned how to pronounce my name. And then, and the momentum was built around that. We didn't really go after it. It just happened. But I now, 25 years later, know how that was vital to building the brand, you know, and we are so grateful to continuously have the support of Hollywood, even as it gets tougher and tougher to, you know, dress, you know, celebrities, because now there's more players and more fashion houses have ambassadors. So those ladies are already spoken for dress wise for these big events. But it's something that was key to like our success. And you'll see that in the book because, you know, I highlight different milestones along the way. And there's a whole section of iconic, powerful, influential, inspiring women who have supported me through the years. And it's really a, you know, a page of gratitude to them and just for their support and believing in me.
Yes. Are you dressing, I guess, influencers? Are you working with influencers on the bridal side of the business for their weddings? And is that working for you also?
Well, influencers are new to my life. And I just love seeing how, you know, they take fashion and put their personal twist onto it. And I think it's great. And I think they really know what they're doing. And I think people are so engaged with how they live. And so I have several influencers who are getting married and are wearing me. I have not been like hands-on with it. I just see once they share the photos with me, and I am ecstatic to see how they wear the clothes, style the clothes, and it's a breath of fresh air for me.
Right on. Well, wrapping up, would you say your customer behavior is changing again over the past 18 months or so? You know, I'm hearing that people are still investing in luxury. I'm sure your dresses are passed down from generation to generation. Is there a pushback in terms of making a large investment at this time? Are they being more, I guess, cost conscious, price conscious? Or how would you describe that behavior?
Well, I discovered during the pandemic, when even when people could not have their, you know, special days, they were not willing to compromise the dress. That for them was going to be the dress of their dreams. The price was not an object. It was something that they were going to have, and which was wonderful to see. And then I've seen it continue where women want less, but they want more quality. They want things that are going to last. They want to invest in these, you know, clothes that they can hang in their closet and wear, you know, next season or multiple times and style it differently. And they really care about the craftsmanship. They care about how they feel in the clothes more than ever, you know. And another thing I discovered is my dresses are really touching a lot of different generations, because just I can talk about the bride coming into my space, and usually her mom buys something too. She's like, oh, I'll wear this. And then most recently, I've had so many friends whose daughters are having their bar mitzvahs or their proms, and they're all wearing dresses now from the collection, whether it's main line or my secondary line. And for me, it's just, it's so lovely to see. It's like a multi-generational vision that a lot of people understand and accept and enjoy and want to, you know, wear. So, I mean, my plate is full, my heart is full, and I'm just grateful for this was a dream, and I can't believe I'm still doing what I love to do.
It's awesome. So if we check in on Monique Lhuillier in another 25 years, where will you be? Where will the brand stand? What are your hopes and dreams there?
I think the next focus I would love is to grow internationally, have a bigger presence internationally with more stores. I would also love to explore going into the beauty space. And I would really also love to, you know, be more focused on the direct-to-consumer part of it. You know, the storytelling, the feeling so connected to my consumer and you know, and so those are the four wishes that I have in the next 25 years.
Right on. Well, last question, because I'm geeking out. So I see some of these names on folks that you've dressed. I mean, Taylor Swift, Gwyneth Paltrow. It's just like, it girls. Was there a moment throughout the last 25 years that you, even yourself, were kind of like, pinch me, this is too good?
Well, you know, back in 2019, it was the Golden Globes, and I had miraculously dressed 8 people in one night. And, you know, I was aware of 2 who were going to wear my dress, but then, you know, as you know, when you dress a celebrity, you don't really know what she's going to decide. There's usually a backup dress. So you only really find out when they hit the carpet. So I was home watching it. I was like, oh, those are the 2. And then there was another one that came out, the 3rd. And then my phone was blowing up. So-and-so confirmed too, she's wearing you. And then, and it just wouldn't stop all night. It was going. And then we had 8, which was unheard of really. And, I was filled with pride, because not only did they all look beautiful, but they all looked so different, and they really shined, and they looked the best versions of themselves. And it was a wonderful moment. So that was a pinch me moment. And me and my team, we were like, now, how are we going to top that? I don't know.
That's amazing. Well, Monique, thank you so much for being here today. It was great chatting with you.
Thank you for having me. And I look forward to meeting in person soon.
That's all for this episode. Our theme music is by Otis McDonald. Be sure to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to The Glossy Podcast. See you next week.